Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be unto you all. Amen. I will not read again the text. It is the gospel lesson for today, the last part of it. And it's very meaningful to us as we are building our lives and homes on Christ. It's a theme. And as we are driving into Lebanon this morning, just on the edge, Elvis Presley, some of you remember him, was on singing, "In my Father's house are many mansions." And it fit right in. And then when I got here, I heard that the young Glendening family had lost their business totally by fire. And again, it brought the whole thing back to me, what it's all about. If we don't build our lives and hope on Christ, what do we really have in this world that we can hold on to? Christ Jesus is the answer. He is the rock, the solid foundation. And we have learned already that our lives don't come about just by accident. If we're lucky, we have a good, prosperous life, and otherwise, we got a bad lot. It means we have to work hard at who we are and what we are doing. We must be training up our family in the way of the Lord so we can stand against the trials and tribulations that are going to come. God guarantees they're going to come, not if they come. And we need to build that foundation, that blueprint for building. And this is exactly what Jesus is talking about in our text for today. This was the last part of the Sermon on the Mount. You find that in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, where Jesus talked to the disciples about building a life and how to build it. He was standing on a mountaintop, and I remember from our trip to Israel, the places that meant to most to me were not Jerusalem. Beautiful Jerusalem, the city with the wall around it. And you can go there and they'll show you where Jesus was buried, they say, and where the upper room was. Everything's been rebuilt, I don't know how many times. But there were a couple places that had not changed. The one was the Garden of Gethsemane. The Garden of Gethsemane. The same olive tree. Some of them, they're more than 2,000 years old. The same trees were there when Jesus bowed down and said, "Not my will, but thine be done." But the other place I remember very clearly was being tore me up being on top of that mountain when we had our trip to the Holy Land, and out of the clear blue, the leader said, "Pastor Cotton, I want you to read the first part of the Sermon on the Mount." And for some reason, it got to me. This is where Jesus stood and preached the Sermon on the Mount, and to feel unworthy to speak the words where Jesus spoke. But in that Sermon on the Mount, he gathered them and he taught them so many lessons about life, what it's all about the government, about parents, about children, about prayer. That's where he taught the Lord's Prayer. So many things he was teaching about. But said there's no easy way to do. There's no easy way to build a life. You have to work at it. 10 years ago, the Portals of Prayer had a prayer in for a Friday morning that started out with, "Work is the curse of sin." And I got my telephone and I called Concordia Publishing House and asked to speak to the Portals of Prayer Department, and I said, "Wait a minute, what is this? What are you talking about?" I said, "In this prayer, work is not because of sin. Work was there for Adam and Eve to take care of the garden and name all the animals. Work is part of our life. Had I not had work here at Lebanon, I retired this starting my 20th year, and the pastor up there didn't want me around, and I got the chance to serve here. If I hadn't had that chance, I'd probably be dead and buried long ago. Now, this is what life is all about. Working for the Lord. We build our lives by working hard, and we build on this solid foundation, and that's what Jesus is trying to show us. So many people want to build their lives on sand. Judy was telling me about in Florida, she's walking on the sand. Wouldn't want to build a house there. The foundation. No foundation there, but so many in life want to build their life the easy way. They want to make the fast dollar and always want to reach for something more. Got a nice car, but want a nicer car. Got a big boat, want a bigger boat. Got a nice home, want a bigger home. And that's the way it is in the world today. Reaching out and grasping and never being satisfied. And that's what Jesus is talking about when he said that's building your house upon the sand. It's not just the rich people do that. The penniless beggar. I don't know how many times I've ever heard people say, if I win the lottery, I'm going to do this and this and this. And I've told you before, I think, I'm probably the only one that's really won the lottery. Every time I bought a ticket, I won. I never did buy a ticket. But in the Philippines, they had the lottery almost 65 years ago. We went over there. I would see these people that didn't have enough money to buy rice for dinner, but they would put their last centavos to buy one of those tickets at the lottery. And it never win, but that's building the house upon the sand. I'm going to go the quick way, the easy way, and I'm going to make it, and I'm going to be big in this world. But that's exactly what Jesus is trying to teach us. If we build our house on things, it's not going to stand. If we build it on our self-righteousness, it's not going to stand. We can think we're righteous. We can be like the Pharisee. Lord, I thank you. Not like other men out there, like this poor publican here. Bow down and pray to you, Lord. I thank you. We can be that way, but sooner or later, it's going to hit us. There is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Our own righteousness will not stand before God, but the Bible tells us all of our righteousness are as filthy rags. But we look around us and we see the wicked prosper. Remember the psalmist Asaph? He said, when I looked around in the world and saw the prosperity of the wicked, I almost lost my faith. Because I've been sick and my enemy is on me all the time. But he said, then I saw their end. And I knew what it was all about. Because their end is destruction. So we're going to have trials and tribulations. We're going to have back sets. The young Glenn Emmons know that now. But I'm sure they know that God's going to see them through and he's going to get them around this and life's going to go on. Because our life isn't based on things. It's based on Jesus, his blood and righteousness. All other ground is sinking sand. But how deep today, because we never know what's going to happen. Years ago, another somebody nobody heard about, when I was in Jonesburg as a pastor, there was a man named Jimmy Hoffa. His daughter and son-in-law had a big ranch just outside of town, a beautiful lake, and one of my church members was a caretaker. So he got me permission to go there and fish whenever I wanted. And the place where Jimmy Hoffa loved to go. And those of you never heard of him, he disappeared. The big labor leader. And the week he disappeared, I ran into his wife and daughter that used to come to church once in a while, not very often, but once in a while, and I was giving them condolences about, but what could I really tell them? That trust in the Lord, see you through. And Barbara, the daughter, said, "My father always taught us to be strong." But in what? See, this was the problem. He didn't tell them what to be strong in. And this is what it's all about, our lives. Be strong in Christ Jesus. Build upon that foundation of the one who loved us enough to die for us. Because these words he gives us in our text, the ones, therefore the man who builds his house upon a rock is the wise man. The rain fell, the floods came, the wind blew and slammed against the house, and yet it did not fall because it was founded on the rock. That's the only thing we can build on. Because we didn't do anything to earn our salvation. We don't deserve anything but death and damnation. But the Lord loved us and chose us. The Holy Spirit called us by the gospel. He enlightens us daily with his gifts. And he holds us fast in that Christian faith through the word. And that's the joy that we have. That's the real message, the climax of the word of God. That God was in Christ, reconciling the word to himself. That God didn't come down to say, I know you sin. That's what some people said. Why didn't God in the Garden of Eden say to Adam and Eve, "Oh, I know, you didn't mean to do it. We'll forget about it this one time and we just go ahead." How come God didn't do that? Because he couldn't. He would be a liar. He said, "If you eat of this tree, you're going to die." The hard, straight facts of the gospel, and we deserve nothing, but Christ Jesus came and didn't say he'd overlook our sins, but instead he took the road to the cross. He went to Calvary. He suffered and died. When he was tempted to turn aside by the devil in the wilderness, he always answered with the word of God. "It is written, it is written, it is written." And in Gethsemane, where he said, "Father, if there's another way to get him to heaven, let it be another way. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And when he found out there was no other way, he said, "Thy will be done." And so he teaches us in our lives. And so often, we can ask God for anything we want to, and we are supposed to ask him for anything we want to, and everything we need to come crying out him over and over and never to stop unless he tells us no. Keep praying is what he tells us, to keep reaching out, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, he will keep us in the faith. And he's going to see us through the trials and the tribulations. He died for us and rose again. He forgives us all those sins of weaknesses, those sins that we didn't mean to commit. And he forgives us even the sins that we willfully committed as we come to him in penitence. But that's what it's all about. The house built upon Christ is not a house of holy people. It's not a museum of saints and saints only. It's a museum of sinners. Sinners. It's more like a sanitarium. That's what it's about to be in the Christian faith. We're in the sanitarium, or we're the diabetic that needs that insulin every day, because we need this every day in Jesus Christ. Because we never know what's going to happen in the world today or tomorrow. As we saw in just within the last week, where a presidential candidate was shot with intractable assassination. And these things are happening in the world around us every day. And we never know what day it's going to hit upon our doorstep. So we need to build that house firmly on the rock. Stay in the Word. Read the Word. Hear the Word. Study the Word. And speak the Word to your neighbor, your fellow man. To show them the only way is through Christ and Him alone. In the Christian home, I've said this so many times, it's where the husband doesn't just tolerate the wife. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and actually gave His life for the church. Love your husband, said the wives, as the helpmeet that God has given. And to parents, train up your children in the way they should go. And when they're old, they will not depart from it. He doesn't say never, never, because we all know from experience that our children don't always go the way we train them. But hopefully someday they will come back to that teaching like the prodigal son and realize that without Christ we have nothing. But we must build our house, build our homes day by day, build our families on Christ, and go forward in this life, never knowing what's going to happen today or tomorrow, never knowing what sickness might befall us or our loved ones, what accidents might happen. But as we go through life day by day in the shadow of the cross, with Jesus by our side, He says, "Lo, I am with you always to the end of the world." So it doesn't matter if we lose our life, our home, our livelihood, everything else, we have Jesus. "In my Father's house are many mansions," He said. "If it were not so, I would have told you so. I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again to take you myself." Now may that wonderful peace with God that we have through forgiveness of our sins in Christ Jesus hold us steadfast in the faith unto life everlasting.